What's going on, people? It's your boy Izzy, and this is the Taz and Izzy Show. Back again with another episode lined up for you guys, and we have two treats for you guys. We have a special co-host in the form of Uncle Mike.
Yo, I'm back, and I'm here to replace Taz for one episode.
So obviously, Taz is unable to be with us today as he has a cold. But nonetheless, we have Uncle Mike like ready to fulfill his duties. So it's going to be a great episode. And saying that, we also have our special guest who is a pacifist. She's from the same town as Jamie Vardy. She's a blogger, content creator, and she also designs lingerie. It's the one and only Emily.
Hey.
Wow. How are you doing, Emily?
Yeah, I'm really good, thanks.
How does it feel to be here in Portsmouth today?
It feels very, I mean, the air's very clean. It feels very different to London, but yeah, it was a fun 2-hour train here.
Oh yeah, for those of you who don't know, she came all the way from London just for this podcast, yeah. Which I think
is incredible.
I think that's great.
Thanks for being here.
But yeah, I was gonna ask, why don't you tell the audience quickly about what you do, who you are, and where you're from?
So I am studying at London College of Fashion. I study fashion contour. And I'm from Christchurch, Spitalfields. I have started a blog called God, Women and Suspenders, where I talk about most things that a lot of Christians don't want to talk about. So, yeah.
No, I like that. I like that. I think one of your main topics that you like to talk about is stigma around sex.
Yeah, we love talking about that.
I feel like sex is a topic that most Christians feel uneasy talking about.
Yeah.
And I think we should just dive straight into it. The concept of sex, why is it such a huge deal for Christians, yet it's not such a big deal for non-believers?
Yeah. So I think a lot of the teaching I was given when I grew up was obviously, you know, wait till marriage, great. But it was also a lot put onto girls to, like, it was kind of their job to do that, and that was their, like, role in Christianity. And then that's a bit weird, because then when you get into the stage where all your friends are having sex, because, you know, they don't see it as something more. Mm. They just see it as something very, you know, temporary pleasure. Like, a lot of my friends would just see it as that. It's quite hard, because then how do you deal with that? I don't think we're taught about how to deal with, like, our sexual desires or temptations.
No, that's right. there's definitely no textbook for that in the
church.
No,
exactly.
And, you know, that's your opinion. I want to hear from Michael. Like, why do you think that non-believers don't see sex as a big deal, yet us as Christians, we do?
I think it's because, like, nobody ever really thinks about what happens after the sex. It's just sort of like the cycle of, like, okay, I have sex, I feel great, I feel amazing, you know, in this act. But no one thinks about what happens after the heartbreak, you know, things like that. Like how your life can fall apart and that kind of thing. Just nobody, you know, nobody really talks about the downsides of it. And nobody even glorifies that bit. It's so, actually, in fact, I say that we're numb to it. Because even our music, it's like everyone's singing about either falling in love or falling out of love. And they're both so romanticized.
No, that's facts. That's facts as well. Well, then, saying that, how important or unimportant is sex to you guys individually?
Oh, interesting. So I think this year, how I view sex has become very different, because now I think God is much more central to my life, and I really do see it as something amazing and something great, but something that should be in the context of marriage. So,
okay.
Yeah.
I know, like, that's a very unpopular statement
to
say.
Yeah, it is, and I would, hands up, I was the first, so, like, a year ago, I'd be the first to tell you that, you know, we don't need to do that anymore. Christians don't need to do that anymore. That was really outdated, but now I fully, like, stand by that. Because I have felt the emotional consequences of doing that.
I hear that.
Yeah, and that's the thing, like, sex, I think sex is an important thing.
Yeah.
Because, like, everything kind of, like, in some ways revolves around sexuality, you know?
Yeah, so true.
But it's like, when it comes to it, what do I want to say? I'm forgetting, but I'm with you on this. Because, like, there's people who, Like in that vein there of what of how important sex is.
Yeah.
Like obviously there's certain people where like if it takes sex off the table, then they're like, okay, maybe we can't be together. Mm. Maybe I can't be with you.
Yeah,
definitely.
And I'm sure though, when, a year ago when you made that decision, did you ever come across these challenges with people?
Yes. Yes, 100%. Yeah, I think it makes dating a lot harder, really. And like the people I've dated in the past have not been Christian. And I don't think those relationships would work now with like who I am now and like where God is in my life. But yeah, I think it really like narrows down who you can date. But I think in a way that's good because I'm at a point where I don't want to kind of date someone for a year, like sleep with them. Yeah. Okay, great. Like. Yeah,
That's so interesting that you say that because for me, like when I tell my non-believing friends who are male that I don't have sex before marriage, they're all like, okay, I respect that.
Yeah.
But then I've noticed when the girl says it to the boy, you know, they call the girl frigid, and it's like a double standard.
Yeah,
in a sense. And on that topic, what do you feel about double standards when it comes to sex? For girls and for boys.
Yeah, I think, that's definitely a big thing. For example, in church, when I grew up and we had all like sex talks and stuff, it was always guys would go to one room, they'd talk about porn, and girls would go to another room, and they'd talk about waiting till marriage and how they should be pure and stuff. Wow. And that didn't work for me because it didn't work for me. You know, they weren't real enough. They didn't talk about the fact that, oh, you probably will have sexual desires and stuff. Mm. I just think it's... I feel like in church, and even outside church, I think guys maybe do have it a bit easier. I mean, yeah, I think guys get more respect than girls do with that topic, personally.
You know, I'm with you there because, like, I've noticed this, where, like, with guys, it's like, okay, let's talk about sex, talk about drugs, talk about all these different things. Then with girls, it's like, okay, you guys go off to the little princess room.
Literally.
Yeah. And then, like, you know, and then talk about things like, oh, you're... like identity and like who you are and you know
comparisons. So true.
And it's like men and women could go through the same things.
Yeah, definitely.
We both suffer from image issues, so, you know, sex and you know like all these different things. We actually all suffer from the same sort of like problems in the society.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like girls are supposed to like numb themselves to that whilst men can sort of like embrace it and talk through it.
Yeah.
And like you said as well, I think guys do get like a getaway free card when it comes to it as well.
Yeah.
Like where like a girl who won't have sex is like, oh, you're frigid.
Yeah.
But if she has sex, then she's a slut.
Yeah. So true. You
can't win.
So true. And also like, I think in church a lot I've heard preachers and just like how it kind of works sometimes where it's been like, oh, okay, the guy's had sex, okay, cool. Well, I mean he was probably gonna anyway. But oh, the girl's had sex, oh, she can't come back from that. Wow. Really weird.
Well, then saying that, do you feel like the modern church needs to do a better job in regards to talking about sex, not just for boys, but like for both genders?
Yeah.
And well, saying that, how do you think the church can improve in that aspect?
Yeah. So I think like in the church I go to, I think we're getting somewhere. We're getting better, and. I just think we need to talk about it with real honesty, really. Mm. I don't think it always works. I think in the past I've had like a married couple come up and talk about it and it's all seemed quite nice. And I think we need to talk about the realities of how it's not always nice and it's hard. And how do you actually do that? And, you know, I think when I was little I was like, oh, well, if you wait till marriage, it's all going to be perfect. Like, that's not necessarily true either because, yeah, I just think we need to talk about it with honesty, really, for both genders.
That's facts.
Yeah. You know what? If you say that when you talk about it with honesty, that means that in some ways we are being dishonest or not very forthcoming, right, on this topic. Yeah. So do you think that like the way we teach about or talk about sex in the church coupled with the way the world outside teaches about sex, do you think that maybe somewhere in there we're teaching young girls to be faithful and then kind of like teaching the guys to sort of like have free reign to do whatever until the day they decide to marry. Does that make any sense? Like, do you feel like, because like guys have the stigma now where it's like, okay, you know, like men are trash, guys are cheaters. So it's like, do you think that maybe the way we teach sex is leading guys to be more promiscuous without the same stigma as women, whilst girls are being taught to be more faithful in a relationship and just sort of like, wait on the guy until he starts behaving correctly.
Yeah, so I think it's really interesting with like the church culture and then our society. So I think right now we are really seeing in society like men are trash, all this, men cheat. But we're also seeing this like kind of, I know I follow a lot of girls who, you know, they're really sex positive and they, you know, they, you know, they're just living, you know, they're sleeping people, living how they want to live. And that's also quite, I think that's really becoming quite a big thing, like women really like reclaiming that. And then I think you've got the other side of the church where, where it isn't as bad if guys do and stuff. So I think kind of both. Yeah, I think we're in a weird place. I think we're in a really weird place right now.
Nah, I agree. Especially when it comes to what a female can wear in churches.
Yes.
Especially with like modesty and how the church has a say on what you can and cannot wear. How do you feel about the church taking that stance?
So I find modesty really hard, purely because the experiences I've had of it and people I know, and it's usually at females, and it's usually, you know, it's not from like a genuine care perspective, it's from like a it's from a male power perspective usually. And I don't think that's what we should be doing in our churches.
Interesting. Male power. What do you mean by that? Let's dive into that a little bit.
Yeah, sure. I think a lot of, well, from myself, the feedback I've had, some things I've maybe posted or, whatever, it's usually been from males getting really angry because it's tempting them and that's my fault. Okay. That's all my fault. And I find that really hard. I don't think, because then how do I look at my body then? How do I see myself? I find that really hard. I'm like, and if that's kind of affecting how I feel around, in church and stuff, I don't think God would want that. I think God wants us all in church, like whatever we wear.
So interesting one.
Yeah.
Would it be right to think that the reason why you design lingerie is to like target these sort of attitudes, like in the church and in the world when it comes to women's bodies and how they're dressed?
Interesting. So I chose to study lingerie because I just love fashion. I love how intricate it is. And I guess I'm into women's lingerie because I'm just really interested in like empowering like the female form and stuff. So I guess in a sense, yes. But in more of a like beautiful way that women's bodies perhaps haven't been seen in the past, rather than like a really like sexualized way.
On top, like building on from that, what do you think is acceptable for a female to wear in church?
I honestly don't think it matters that much, really. I think our churches should be a really open place. I mean, I don't want to say this, because I think it depends on the context, what style of church you go to, but I really don't think that when you come to church and you meet with God, you should be worrying like, oh, what am I wearing? Am I covering enough?
Okay.
You know what? Let's challenge that real quick.
Yeah, sure.
You know, because like, personally,
yeah.
I don't think people should be turned away for what they're wearing when they come into a church.
Mm.
You know, because you don't know where they're coming from.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're looking for something, obviously, when they walk into those doors. But like, let's challenge this, because like, this is how church has been for my entire existence, and you know, for centuries.
Yeah.
So okay, let's say like, I'm a woman who walks into church. Right? I walk in, I'm wearing like the shortest skirt, you know, and I'm wearing it with like fishnet stockings or whatever you call them. You know, but like, and then I'm wearing like a jacket over it, so you know, and a vest. So I'm not trying to be immodest, but I'm wearing what I feel comfortable in, what I've always worn. But this is clearly an outfit that's now accepted in 2019 out on the streets.
Yeah.
But say, for example, like in the 1960s, you wouldn't dream of wearing that without making a statement. Mm. So I walk into church like that. Do you think that people should be judging me, like looking at me and, you know, saying all these nasty things like, oh, I bet she's a prostitute or, you know, like that kind of thing? Because people do think these things.
Yeah.
But then, of course, they just sort of mask it behind political correctness.
Mm.
But I think that that sort of judgment towards someone just like that is what basically inspires both men and women to try and control how young girls are dressed when they walk into the church.
Because
I also find that older women as well do judge younger women.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
So what do you think with that whole thing I've just given you? So I walk in dressed like that.
I think there's so much more than what you're wearing. I think there's so much... Yeah, I think the fact that that woman's going to church is amazing and we should focus on that. We shouldn't... I just don't think we should be judging people. Whether we think that in that context, maybe you perhaps shouldn't be, you know, that's maybe not wear that. Maybe you'd wear that on your night out. But also, it's just amazing she's in church, I think. And I think we just need to encourage that. And yeah, you're right. It is. I personally have just experienced like men saying that to me, but I know like it can be like older women a lot, and yeah, as well, not just men, but yeah.
What about using that same example, but rather than it being a new person, it's the pastor of the church. So let's say it's a female pastor and she's wearing very short skirt, showing a lot of cleavage, and she's preaching. Do you think that is then acceptable?
I think that's quite hard because, you know, the person at the front of the stage should be kind of setting an example. Although it's hard because it's like, would you wear that to maybe your job? Maybe not. So like, would you wear that to when you're preaching to like a church? Then maybe not. But that's not because I'm like, oh, you should cover up your body. It's just because I don't think that's that professional. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, like as Christians, right? Like, as we read, when you read the creation story, we're born naked before we had any clothing, right? And of course, even now, you're still born naked, as a baby, right? But Adam and Eve were once naked before the fall, right? That's the whole idea. So do you think that when it comes to how we dress and how we perceive and judge things, some would argue that it's a social construct?
Interesting.
You know, but and I guess perhaps it is. But then we seem to all kind of make the same judgments when we see certain articles of clothing. You know, like if I see somebody in a suit, it might denote that, oh, this person must be successful or employed in a job.
Yeah.
You know, if I see wearing certain clothes, it can be associated with certain things.
Yeah, I think that's very like society's kind of put that on people. Because we can really show what we want with how we dress. But I just really don't think that should... you know, stop people coming to church and finding God, because there's too many people I know who have had a really bad experience of, you know, someone higher in church just maybe like not very sensitively telling them to not wear something, and that's put them off, you know, their door's shut now, you know, that. And I just think there's so much more than that.
Yeah. So if a woman walks in and she's dressed in a way that's deemed inappropriate and she's being judged as being a distraction by men and women, whoever, you'd argue that, would you argue that the ones who are, say, oh, I feel distracted by what she's wearing, they're the ones who are in the wrong in the situation?
Yeah, I would. Yeah, because I don't think we should be worrying when we dress what other people think. I think it comes in extremes, but one of the schools I was going to go to, they had this policy and it was like, you can't show your shoulders because that distracts males. And I was like, what? So I think there's really extremes to it. But also, you know, if a guy came into my church and he was wearing quite short shorts, a big tank top, that's not going to stop me worshipping the Lord. Like, I think...
It would stop me.
I think you've just got to...
You know what's funny about that? Is that what you said right there, some girls do go through that. I've heard girls say this.
Yeah.
Where, like, they see, for example, like a guy standing in the, you know, like... at the entrance of a door, and then he stretches hands up, you know, and they see that and think it's quite masculine and it's attractive.
Yeah.
And they find it to be distracting.
Interesting, yeah.
But when it's a guy doing that, it's just sort of seen like as being a sexy thing. But then if it's a girl who's doing something, the guy finds it distracting. Both genders tend to judge the woman.
Yeah,
but we never.
I think it's. I think we go men. Hard. I think we go harder on females. Yeah. I think that's why I find the whole modesty thing quite hard. Because the experience that I've had hasn't been very sensitive, and they haven't been very. You know, it's been very because of my gender.
So then saying that, do you feel like modesty is just a social construct created by men to get females to conform to their power?
I think to an extent, I think obviously like traditions and stuff. People have worn things in church and stuff, but obviously in the history of the church it has been more like male dominated, and I think it definitely, not in every circumstance, but I think definitely like the whole modesty thing can be used to control women. Because yeah, I think I know a lot of people who kind of would say that, but then the life they're living is like yeah,
it's different. I definitely agree. I also believe that some could argue that the purity culture is another form of social conformity, a social construct where men use it to conform females to their power.
Yeah.
Do you also agree with that?
Yeah, I think purity culture was like a huge thing, and I think it was very there. I think maybe the intention behind it, you know, did kind of come from a place of like God's love and stuff, and all about like waiting for your husband and. But I think it became very toxic and very focused on that. And even when I was like growing up in church, one of my teachings was about like jelly, and the guy was the jelly and then we were the peanut butter, and then you put them together and oh look, you're like dirty. And I'm like, I don't think that's not positive. And you know, this was again like the girls were taken to a room and we talked about this, and it's like, should that responsibility all be put on us? Like, I think we need to talk more openly, because if not, you know, that made me think, oh gosh, sex is really scary and horrible. It made me see it quite negatively, and I don't think that's healthy at all.
I don't know what that analogy means, but that is gross. I didn't get it. All I heard was I like jelly, and hearing that wasn't very pleasant. But for the sake of our listeners, do you think you could define what purity culture is?
So it was this like movement all about like staying pure till marriage, and there was like purity rings people wore, and yeah, if you were a virgin you'd wear a ring, and it was kind of like, I think it was like glamorizing like virgins and that kind of thing, and yeah, and I think it was quite, I mean, it, I think it definitely affected men as well, but it was definitely put more on women.
I definitely think purity culture is more focused on females than males.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you'll get a lot more females saying, oh, I'm not going to do it till marriage, then you'll get men saying
that. Yeah.
So then, in a sense, would you say that, you know, being pure for a guy is actually harder than it is for a girl?
No.
No.
Okay. No, not at all.
You think it's equal, or you think it's?
I think it depends, kind of per person.
So let me tell you why I brought that point.
Yeah.
Up. Because when I was in secondary school, if you were in year 11 and you didn't have sex, like there was a massive pressure on you to have sex, and people would lie about it. They'd be like, oh, I've had sex with like six girls.
But, yeah.
No, they haven't.
You never had.
Classic.
You just like kissed your pillow.
Do you know what I'm saying? So like, and that's why sometimes I feel like this whole being pure thing, sometimes it actually is, it's easier for a girl to say it than a boy, because the boy won't have to have that on him the whole time when he's talking to his friends.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely see that, because, yeah, I mean, in my school too, there was definitely a very, like, culture and, like, guys sleeping with people and blah, 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 and I think in that sense, yeah, but also I think often we just kind of see females and we're like, well, they didn't really have a sex drive anyway, like, they, you know, we don't really talk about that, we're just kind of like, well, they'll be okay because they're just, like, they're gonna stay pure, so... But, you know, I definitely felt pressure to lose my... I don't know if it was as much as guys, but from friends and stuff, I definitely felt a lot of pressure to have sex when I was, like, in school and stuff. Like, yeah.
Sad, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really
sad.
You
know what? What do you think of this? Because this is what I have observed. That when it comes to let's say, like, a girl's a virgin, right?
Yeah.
Guys look at her, right? And, like, if she's a virgin, it's cool. It's only when the guy's trying to sleep with the girl who's a virgin and they start saying, oh, you're frigid, you're this, you're
so
that.
So true.
Just to try to get her to take her, you know, take her panties down. But like, girls are celebrated for being a virgin.
Yeah.
Right? But then other girls will be on your case going, like, oh, you know, you can't get a boyfriend, you'll be single forever. And then they kind of like, you know, sort of stir it up in each other to go and find someone to, you know, to sleep with just because, just so that they can, you know.
Yeah.
kind of win this girl and girl out argument about it.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
It's really hard because I think you've got, you know, some girls telling you, you know, maybe people, your friends were like, oh my God, I'm seeing this person, like, you should too, it's great, blah, blah. And then you've got guys being like, oh, like, you know, guys who are maybe, like, waiting, or maybe, to be fair, no, guys that are not, and they're like, oh, she's virgin, like, oh, great, like, exciting, and they, so, and you've got all these pressures, and then the church is like, oh, just wait till marriage, and it's just, yeah, you've got all these different things, and it's like, well, how do you navigate that, how do you make good choices?
Emily, on that topic, what do you think about this whole thing here, where guys are like, they want to sleep with, like, 10, 20 different girls, and then they say, oh, but my wife needs to be a virgin, like, or, like, be, like,
I'm over it.
Or be like pure, like, you know, one one or two people in their body count. Have you heard that before? Where guys are like even guys who cheat, they're like, oh, you know,
yeah, because
I
guys
want to be faithful.
Yeah,
he's a hoe. Let's, you know.
That is so. I feel like it's so annoying because there's plenty of guys right now who are like, you know, they really want their like wifey and they want them to be perfect and just commit to them. But that's okay because they you know they've done bits. They're having fun.
Yeah.
But, oh no, because it's the girl, we can't do that.
Yeah, he wants to go out there and be the whole of the year. But, like, she has to
literally
be the purest thing.
Yeah, yeah, no. I hate this whole, like, body count thing. Like, it's so rubbish.
But then at the same time, I know you hate it, but if you're if you're on a date with a guy and he said that, you know, he's been with, like, over 1,000 girls.
A thousand?
Yeah. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, wouldn't that affect your judgment of the guy?
So 1,000 would, yeah.
What about 100?
I think it depends where we are, where they are on their journey, you know.
They've told you that,
I mean,
they left that life behind.
Yeah, I could defo.
You believe that?
I wouldn't just straight away believe that, obviously not. But, like, if I really liked someone and we were dating and they were like, I mean, I think 100. Could anyone? Probably. But I'm going to say 30 because that seems like...
That's your max.
No, I'm not going to... I don't have a max, but I'm just going to say 30 because it just seems a bit, yeah.
These numbers aren't, like, fictional. That's
these are my friends.
No,
yeah.
No. These used to be porn star numbers. Or it's like, I've had 60 people, whatever.
But, like, to be fair, like... You know. I don't know, like, you could...
Yeah.
I was listening to this thing the other day, and it was saying, like, you could have slept with 2 people, like, 100 times, or you could have just slept with 100 people.
Oh, okay.
And it was like, interesting. Like, yeah, what do you think of it then? Like,
nah, for me, it's still, if it's 100 different people...
Yeah, it's, no, it's...
That's
it's,
still
it's,
you know what? What's your opinion on this? Because that right there, what you just said, dear, that logic is excess quite a lot. Where, like, people now do this toxic thing where... I believe it's toxic, where, like... You know, because they want to maintain their body count where it is, they'll just sort of like go back to their ex.
Yes. No, I have friends that do that.
Yes. Everyone got friends that do that. Oh. Speak on it.
I'm just over it. Like, just buy yourself a present.
Wow.
Like, I don't know. Like, I just don't, it's just not good, is it? Like,
yeah.
I don't even. Oh, I just hate that. I mean, obviously it's weird because if you're in a relationship, you kind of like want to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also, like, this having like a body count, it's just not nice, is it? Like,
definitely not.
Like, that's not how we should be. Like, that's not honouring each other. That's not what. That's not what we were made to do.
Have you noticed that, like, the way we judge each other when it comes to sex is we're creating like a new toxic culture, subcultures out of it.
Yeah.
Because people blame society. I don't, because what is a society? It's made up of human beings, of people. We are the society.
Yeah.
So we make up the rules and then condemn ourselves to these rules.
Yeah.
You know, so like, you know, like, so what do you think about that? These little toxic subcultures we're creating where it's like, okay, because I've slept with like 9 people and I don't want to hit double digits.
I've heard that too many times.
Yeah. And it's happening so much.
Yeah.
And it's obviously a very damaging thing.
I think it's really sad.
Mm. Yeah.
It's really sad. It's like... Come on.
No, I understand that. Well, bringing it back to purity culture, because I feel like we
we just that like we have into the downside.
Bringing it back, how do you think that we as Christians could help kind of control that social construct of purity culture?
Yeah, I think talking about it in a more or talking about if you want to wait to marriage, talking about it in a more real and open and honest way. So talking about it as not some kind of like pure thing, but talking about it on like both male and, you know, both male and female, talking about it in a really like honest way and talking about, you know, that it can be hard and, you know, like, yeah, just really being honest with it. Because I think for me, I used to be like, when I was like 15, 14, like, oh my gosh, like, I don't want to, I'm not, you know, like, if in front of certain friends, I'd be like, oh yeah, like, I'm not going to wait till marriage, like, oh my gosh. And now I feel like I'm very, you know, I love telling people that. I'm like, yeah, it's great, it's fun. You're like, proud of it. I think you've got to own it. We've got to teach it in a different way, not in this horrible, like, you know, way that makes you feel trapped.
Mm, and judged.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that's facts. That's facts.
You know what scares me? I just wonder if I can just hit this nettle real quick.
Yeah, that's cool, bro.
Yeah.
You're allowed.
Yeah. The thing about people sleeping with, like, multiple people is that, like, I believe that, you know, with each person, you're taking in, like, a piece of them every time.
Oh, interesting.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
interesting.
Yeah, they take a piece of you, you take a piece of them.
Mm.
And I feel like nowadays when I come across people, it's kind of scary because they're carrying not just their own pain and their own insecurities and their own brokenness, but, like, other people as well that they've, like, you know, sort of, like, traded, like, been, you know, been in bed with. Like, they're carrying everything.
Mm.
And now it's, like, this huge burden you're just, like, sort of carrying. And, you know, so I feel like when you look at a person and saying, oh, that person's crazy, they're toxic, they're, you know, all these different things, really, they've just been hurt. And, like, I feel like when you sleep with someone, you know, you really open up to them in the pure, you know, like, in the most
intimate
way possible. You really open up yourself to them in every way, emotionally, you name it, you know. And everything they have to give, they pass on to you and vice versa.
Mm.
So I feel like some of our quote-unquote toxic traits that we demonize are just things that we're passing on to each other and no one's really healing because we just, you know, we try to, like, solve things by having more sex.
Yeah, I think there's a big culture on, like, oh yeah, sleep with someone to, like, get over somebody.
Yeah.
And I really don't think that's good. But, yeah, I think we just need to deal with things a bit of a different way. I personally don't believe we take pieces of people. I think that's something, I personally just don't believe that. I think that's something I've been told a lot. And I definitely feel like I definitely think sex 100% really makes your connection and your love for that person, if you know, you're in that position. I really think that makes it really real, and I think it can make you really, like, not aware of, like, bad things going on, or, like, yeah, I think sex keeps people in relationships way too long. But I think we're in a really sex obsessed society right now.
Yes,
we are. So you don't think that in the same way that you can adopt the best part of someone, you can necessarily, like, adopt the worst parts of them, if that makes sense?
I don't think so, no. And not, I don't think sex means you're, I think, you know, because people are having sex with people they met on Tinder. Like, people aren't just having sex when they love someone in a relationship now. So I think, you know, that connection and that, you know, you're saying part of someone, I think you can get that from being emotionally, really emotionally vulnerable with someone, like, that you're attracted to. And, you know, you can, I don't think you necessarily have to do the whole sex thing to suddenly, you know, have to, because, you know, people are having one-night stands everywhere, like.
Are you referring to soul ties here?
Sorry?
Are you referring to, like, a soul tie kind of thing?
Am I a...
No, referring to soul ties.
Referring to soul ties?
Yeah, what you just said.
What do you mean?
Have you heard that term before?
Yeah, like, thrown around. Is that...
Why don't you tell us what,
yeah,
what soul ties?
Yeah, when you said that, I was like, oh my gosh, I have to explain this. Like, you know, I think that when two people connect, they definitely form, like, a soul tie.
When you say connect, are we talking about sex?
In every way. That's why I wondered that, because I believe when you have sex with someone, you do form a soul tie with them.
Interesting.
And this is how you sort of adopt, you know, like, the worst parts and the best parts of them.
Interesting.
And I also believe that not only just through sex, but even through emotional intimacy. Like you said, when you're
emotionally vulnerable. Yeah, that's what I was looking for. Yeah. Emotional, that was the word. Yeah, yeah,
even through that as well, you can form soul ties. And it's not a bad or it's not like a bad or good thing, because even with your closest friends, you form a soul tie.
Mm.
Where you're like, okay, you know, we are day ones, you know, through and through, and you have that, you know, trust and bond with them.
Yeah.
And I believe that sex kind of does the same thing, that it forms this bond with a person, even two strangers, you know.
Do you think?
And I think that's why when we break up with someone that we've had sex with, as opposed to someone we haven't,
yeah,
you know, we're sort of strung to them, you know, and, like, we're really, really, like, affected by it in the worst ways possible.
Yeah.
Like, 6 months later, they're still in your head, you can't get them out.
Oh, mate, yeah.
You know, if they're feeling, like, really bad and volatile, you feel it as well, kind of thing. Like, it just becomes this very, very disturbing emotional connection after the love and the relationship has died.
Mm.
And I think that that's the cause of a soul tie. What do you think about this?
I think I'd say, so I definitely would acknowledge that after a relationship, if you had sex with that person, you know, it's going to be a longer heartbreak, there's going to be more pain, you know, you're going to feel more intimate with that person. But, you know, I don't think that lasts forever. Maybe it's different if you, you know, don't have Jesus in your life and you don't feel like you've, I don't know, maybe it's a bit different then. Mm. But I think the way I feel about my ex-boyfriends now isn't like it's not this horrible thing that feels part of me. It's this thing that's like very, you know, I still have some care for them because they were a part of my life, but I'm very separate from that. You know, that's not me. But I wonder if that's different because now the way I view sex is different. I'm not sure. Mm. But
yeah. Well,
yeah.
On that note, what you said right there, yeah. Do you feel that way? Like, how you feel now about your exes?
Yeah.
Did you feel that way back then when it first happened?
When we first, like, broke up?
Because you sound like somebody who has healed from that now.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
what you're able to see from that
yeah,
perspective.
Yeah, yeah, like, oh, no, like, it was very, very painful and heartbreak's awful. Yeah. And I think I definitely think heartbreak's worse if you've slept with them, like, 100%, yes. But,
yeah. Why do you think that is?
I think it's just, like, really, it's just a really intimate, like, physically really intimate,
thing to do.
Thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I would see sex now as more than just like a physical act. You know, emotionally. Releases all funny hormones and stuff, yeah. Like it does.
And that's the thing. So the soul tie is about the door you open together, you know. But
Then do you think soul ties, these stay? Is this something you carry on now?
No. I believe you can definitely break these things.
Oh, okay.
100%.
Okay. Okay. That's what I thought you were saying. Stay with you forever.
Like you're 60 and he's still haunting
you. That's what I thought you were saying. To be fair, it's like really bad.
It's all good, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't worry. From knowing you and talking to you, you do sound like that is just not a thing.
Yeah.
You've healed from the heartbreak. And I think one of the ways that you heal from it was from talking about it. I definitely feel that when it comes to heartbreak, talking about it is definitely one of the best ways of coming from that. And saying that, I also feel like talking about your faith is the best way to share your faith to the world. So I noticed that you also on Instagram quite a lot.
Yeah.
And you'd like to share your faith a lot. Tell us why it is that you do that.
Yeah, I love it. So I think there was a point earlier this year where I was very heartbroken and I was just like, right, I actually really want to follow God properly. I really felt God and I was just like, I'm going to delete Instagram, you know, focus on God.
Yeah.
And I really felt God was just like, no, use it for good.
Mm.
And then I think one day I was like, okay, cool. I'm just going to do a little snap in church to let everyone know I'm a little bit holy. And then gradually it just built up. And now I love it because I've had, you know, people will reply every week, you know, if I post a story about a question or, you know, I'll be like, ask me your questions on Christianity. And I get some like random people who I know from like the year above me at school or like just randomly asking me great questions. And they actually have so much interest. And it's like, you know, if you have like 1,000 followers and that's 1,000 people who might have a question, do you know what I mean?
Come on, that's great.
So
that's great stuff, because I'm always wondering, why are Christians so ashamed to share about their faith?
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to understand. And why do you think that is?
I think there was definitely a time when I was, you know, I was quite a Sunday Christian. I was quite ashamed of my faith. It was, you know, it's more of an accessory to my life. I think it's really when you meet with Jesus and it becomes a really, like, important part of your life.
Yeah.
I think that's when the shame goes. But I think it's hard. I think you have to, like, build up to it because, you know, 2 years ago I would not want to tell someone I was a follower of Jesus. That was a bit low-key.
100%.
Yeah.
No, I fully agree. And, like, also, on that note, I also think that one of the reasons why certain Christians might not post is because they don't live that life.
Yeah.
Sometimes you'll get Christians who post a lot about their faith, but then on a Friday night, you'll catch them in the club doing God knows what with a girl. And it's like, whoa, what?
Yeah.
Who are we getting here? So how do you feel about those kind of people, those kind of Christians?
Yeah, I think I've been there before. I think I've been that person who's been like, oh, yeah, like, you know, maybe like in a year ago, I was, you know, I'd still have said I was a Christian. But I was a Christian who, like, but I don't, like, wait till marriage or do any of that, like, weird stuff. Like, I still, like, drink all the time and, like, you know, because I still wanted to, like, you know, I feel like you can't, my friend said to me, you can't have, like, your, you know, one foot in mm-hmm. and then one foot, it's just, mm. it doesn't work. It's, mm. it, that's even harder than being, like, both feet in or both feet out, mm. like, yeah.
No, it's true. Someone else said to me, if you're a part-time Christian, don't expect full-time benefits.
No, that's so true. That's so good, yeah.
Because, like, you really can't be acting to the world like you're this untouchable, holy person, and then you're yeah. just living another way. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? So that's interesting.
Yeah.
You know what? On your Instagram, like you said, people do ask you questions, right?
Yeah.
About, you know, about all kinds of topics, whether it's like porn or like sexuality, like they're yeah. really curious about things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm glad that you take time to answer them as well.
Yeah.
Because some questions might seem little or silly, but
some of them are, I know they're just jokes, and I'm yeah. like, mate, I'm answering anyway. Chance to chat.
Yeah. I'm glad you do, because these are things that do become important.
Yeah.
You know? It's like if, like, for example, I've noticed like a couple where like they're both not Christians, and then they become a Christian. And they're thinking, wait, can we still have sex? You know, like certain things, or like, can we still do X, Y, Z? Certain things that might have seemed like, oh, it won't be a big deal. It becomes a big
wait,
deal.
Wait, a Christian and non-Christian, you're saying?
Oh, no.
No, sorry.
Yeah, whatever I just said.
Okay, cool.
Forget about it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Let me take you to where I'm taking you. You know, but people do ask you all these different questions.
Yeah.
And I've heard your views as well on what you think about,
yep.
you know, people, like, the attitudes in the church when it comes to, you know, women's sexuality and dressing and all these yeah, different things. Yeah. Do you think that the church now, in this day and age, in the 21st century, in 2019, 2020, you know, do you think that the church can help to actually dispel some of these negative attitudes that we have towards women especially?
Yeah, and I think we're already doing that. Mm. I think we're 100% moving forward in women's rights, you know, outside of church and in church. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think the fact that, you know, in my church is very, as a woman, I feel very welcome there. I feel very respected. And I think, it, you know, in on the most parts. And I think, yeah, that's amazing. You know, I see myself represented in leadership and in, like, my student worker and, like, yeah, I definitely yeah. feel it's becoming a much more open place, definitely.
That's great. And, like, some women, I've heard them express things about beliefs that perhaps being a Christian means that as a woman, you know, like the Bible is oppressive towards women, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, and you becoming a Christian and then, you know, going to the Bible and, you know, going, like, just in your own faith,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
do you think, what would you say to the women who think that, oh, if I become a Christian, I'm sort of like forfeiting my rights,
yeah,
kind of thing, and coming under this umbrella of oppression, I guess, and toxic patriarchy? Like,
yeah,
what do you think about that? Because it's a thing that I've seen as, like, I've watched people say this and I've observed
that,
but, like, I want to, you know, it's best understood from a woman's perspective.
Yeah.
So what do you think?
I think that God created women, and a lot of the things, you know, that will, you know, will put people off being Christian, you know, put women off being Christian, are things the church and the people of the church, which aren't perfect, have created.
Mm.
And, you know, I genuinely don't believe God wants women to sit in a little box and be really quiet. Like, God wants to use you. Mm. Like, that's really exciting.
Yeah.
Like,
no, it's true. It's true, yeah. Because the Holy Spirit, you know, I've seen Holy Spirit on males and females.
Yeah, of course. So, you know, it's not, literally.
So it's not just for the males. So,
like,
that's,
I have two sisters.
Yeah.
And my sisters have blessed me so much.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I would physically die for them. That's how much I love them. You
that's
know?
So nice. Wow.
Yeah. It's intense, but it's true. I've made this, you know, twice a long time ago. You know, Kimmy, I got you. You know? But, like, you know, with that said, that was quite heavy, wasn't it? Like, I always thought to myself, like, you know what? If God didn't value women, one, he wouldn't have made them.
Yeah, exactly.
And two, he wouldn't have given them dreams.
Exactly, you know? Yeah.
Like, my older sister is one of the most talented people I know. She does so much, you know. I do two things right, and that's about
it. thing is, it's not about women being better. It's about us being, we're being equal, you know.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's better. No, even the Bible doesn't think anyone's better. I think what's strong is when we come together.
Yeah, exactly. We need to come together, because we need each other, you know. Yeah. Like, that's so, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, with that women, like, I believe the reason why guys die early is because women live longer. Guys die early because we don't talk about our problems. We hold everything in.
Wow.
And with that women, I think that lifespan would be shorter.
Wow.
I think everything will carry all that emotional junk in our heart. All this stuff, yeah, is a heart attack waiting to happen.
Mate.
And I think that's your other half.
Should we have a chat?
Increase my lifespan.
Yeah. You know, I think if you have a good woman in your life, you live longer because she'll just help open parts of yourself that you've just been hiding from.
I mean, yeah.
Men, we're afraid of ourselves, really. And a woman can be scary to a man, because a woman will make you look in the mirror and face those worst parts of yourself.
That's so true, but I feel like that's really true. And I think, yeah, there's definitely like a not good culture on men not talking. But also, like, a guy can help me look in the mirror. It's true. And, you know.
See stuff that you have never seen.
Exactly. So, it's, like, we need to work together.
I feel like, yeah, like, males and females bring different perspectives.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what it's about at the end of the day. Bringing it back to like, your platform. Do you feel like, as Christians, it is our duty to share the faith, no matter what platform that we have?
I think God really cares about your own faith. And I think, you know, if you can, you know, I think we're seeing some really exciting things right now. And if you can use that in a creative, I think ultimately God really does want you to use whatever platform you have to really share him. But I also acknowledge that not everyone's in that strong point in their faith.
Mm.
And I think God really cares about you as a person, you know, you individually, like, God cares about us all, but, like, you know, we're not, like, not all of our friends are, like, ready or feel confident to post things.
It's a journey.
Yeah, exactly.
So then, saying that, do you have any advice for any listeners out there who, they want to share their faith, they want to talk about it,
yeah,
but they're just not there in terms of confidence?
Yeah.
Any advice for those guys?
I think, it's probably a bit boring, but I think what really helped me is just really, like, praying, getting so much confidence from the Word, and just really looking at the Bible. And I think that just really set me up to feel really confident and really own the fact I was a Christian. And then kind of just went out there. And, you know, I think it's amazing to have a really nice, you know, it's amazing to have a great church family or some real, like, good Christian friends that you know will, like, back you up. I think that, wow, that is amazing. Like, I'll rant to some of my flatmates about what people have said to me, but it's okay because, you know.
That's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing that you, so, like, your advice is that you had advice given to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I really like. I definitely think we should always seek advice.
Yeah, definitely.
No matter our walk in our lives. And on the topic of advice, what advice do you wish you had before you went into your relationship?
Relationship with God or relationship with people?
That's cool. Let's go.
A bit vague.
What are you thinking? Yeah,
no, exactly. I have my question, but what do you... take that wherever you want to take that, with God.
However it relates to you.
Wait, what advice I wish I'd had?
Yeah, before you...
I think I wish I'd just seen maybe people more like me. In Christianity and, like, bold in their faith and not... I don't think I felt that, like, maybe represented in church. I think I always felt a bit too much. And I think, yeah, I just would have loved to, you know, there's amazing platforms out on YouTube and stuff, and I really would, there's just amazing people I just want to, like, show myself who are really, like, living out Jesus, but, like, I could relate to.
Yeah, no, that's great.
And
you were going to say something before about advice.
Yeah, you spoke about, when we spoke about these different topics like stigma, sex and social pressures and all these, you know, relationships, and, like, you mentioned that, you know, that the talks we have with young boys is different, it's quite different to the talks we have with young girls.
Yeah.
So how do you think that we could, the impact we could have on young girls coming up if we were to have the same discussions with them, like, talk about sex, drugs and pornography and, you know, the whole thing?
Yeah.
Like, you know, what difference do you think you can make in the lives of, like, a young girl or just any woman, really?
Yeah, so I think definitely we need to talk about, because, for example, like, we need to talk about porn to like both genders, when you talk about sex to both genders. And I think, I don't know if that means like bringing them together and we have a, I don't know, but I just need to talk about it more honestly, because I think that could, well, ultimately keep more young girls in church and, you know, keep that relationship with Jesus. But because that's that reason and that shame that's been put on women. I have too many friends who have, you know, they've lost their relationship with God because that's, you know, that's a door now to them. That shame they felt from the church, that's, you know, that's too much. And I don't think it was ever intended. As much as I do believe now that sex is intended for marriage, I don't believe it was intended to, you know, put a door between you and Jesus or anything like that. I really don't believe that.
Okay, so we could actually save a lot of young girls from going astray and just feeling lost in
And also just their own like mental health and stuff and how they feel about themselves and their body. Like, yeah, I think that's so important.
I also think that we should talk more about relationships.
Yeah.
And like what is the Christian way of doing it?
Yeah.
You know, what does the Bible say about it? Because most of the time, and this was me as well, like when it came to relationships, I thought I knew all the answers, you know. I didn't seek no help because I was like, oh, I got this. You know what I'm saying? But really and truly, we could all use help.
Yeah.
No matter what relationship that we're in. And saying that, what advice do you wish you had before entering your first relationship with your boyfriend?
Cool. Don't get too carried away, girl. That's what I wish someone had. I wish someone had, you know, had some honest chats with me and just, you know, been a bit more real, because, you know, this relationship, wow, it didn't take long till it was like really real and like it, yeah, like it fully took over my, you know, whole life and stuff. And just really some perspective on that.
People don't really talk about how being in a relationship, it can be a full-time job sometimes.
Honestly.
It will take your whole life.
Yeah.
And, you know, no one really prepares you for that.
Yeah.
So that's what's interesting. And then saying that, do you feel like right now your kind of approach to dating is different than what it was years ago?
Definitely. I now have a list.
Oh, wow.
Have a list of, my flatmate inspired me. I now have a list of questions that if I like want to date someone, I'm going to go through these questions.
Without revealing too much, give us some of those questions and then test them on me and my...
I'm ready to fail.
So one of them, like the top one is like, is God centre of your life and do you see church family in your future?
You know he is.
Come on, girl. That's a good one though.
And then I've got ones that aren't like, they're not even like, they're not like yes or no answers. They're just like, like, what do you think about porn? Because for me, that's quite a big thing. How do you view women? And
on the first date, you'd ask that.
Yeah.
Why not?
I think so. Yeah, I don't want to like get far down the line and then, wait, mate, we're on different pages.
Would you ask about the body count?
I think one of the questions is like, what does sex mean to you?
And then from there you can kind of gauge
what's going on. Don't, because I would date someone if they now want to like, because I want to date someone now who wants to wait to marriage as well. So if I, you know, if that person has slept with a lot of people before, that wouldn't stop me dating them if they'd like found Jesus and now want to wait. But I mean, it might come up.
So if a man asks you out on a date, and then he presents you some questions, okay, so you'd be equally ready to answer his questions as well.
Yeah. You'd have to, innit? Because
I'm happy to answer. I'd be happy to answer your questions. Like, that's what it's about, getting to know each other, not just asking, but like...
What if he asked you about your body count? Would that be a bit too personal?
I think we'd talk about the word body count for a start. And then, I mean, to be fair, I don't think it's too personal. I personally probably, I wouldn't find that too personal, no.
I mean, like...
But I feel like a lot of girls are quite offended by that.
This is something that Michael does quite a lot in terms of, like, social settings. He'll say something very, like, outrageous, and then he'll set the standard for the conversation and where it can go. Do you know what I'm saying? It's very effective when you do go in quite deep, because then there's no barriers to how deep you can go.
Yeah.
I know you were thinking like, oh, the body count thing, he does that, I have a word. But that's not it. But I will always say something that I think is kind of like outrageous. So like, I'm happy to seem like the fool, like, okay, this is like, to just take off the filter of things. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
People come in to to
with
like
a wall up.
Yeah, with the wall up, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like, let's just be honest.
Yeah, yeah, literally, yeah. I'm over that. I'm over like yeah. that. I've definitely done that.
Yeah, yeah, so like that's what he does. What I do is I just ask the deep questions. So it's always interesting. So then what other things are you mentally prepared for when it comes to future dating?
Am I mentally prepared for?
Yeah.
That
you've learned from previous relationships.
Oh, yeah. I think just, like, not rushing. Like, I
so
think
important.
So important. Like, why have I rushed into so... Like, it's so just so, important. Like... Yeah, and just really, like, talking to your friends and getting their perspectives. Because sometimes, like, I'll be chatting to my friend and I'll be like, so this has happened. She's like, what are you doing?
Mm.
And I'll be like, oh, wait. And I'll second think it and I'll be like, yeah, like, actually, that's not actually what... that's not actually how I want to live my life. Like, why did I reply like that or that kind of thing?
Yeah.
And it's just... And I think it's keeping people in the loop. Like, I probably tell my mum nowadays. And I wouldn't have used to tell mum, oh, I'm talking to this boy. But now I'll be like, what do you think? Because
yeah.
I actually, I don't want to be with someone for a year. Do you know what I mean?
I get it. Why waste
yeah.
time?
You got a drinking?
Yeah, like sometimes. But definitely not that often, no. No, I used to. I used to be like really into clubbing and stuff. But then I feel like everyone isn't fresh.
Mm-hmm.
But now... No,
yeah,
not,
I lived there in the Narrow Tag.
Yeah.
Wait, do you feel like your relationship with God sort of changed your attitude as well towards like clubbing and
yes.
partying?
Yes, which I hate that. I hate that because I'm like, I've always wanted to be like, oh my gosh, I'm a Christian. I love clubbing and stuff. That was really like my first year vibe. But I think sometimes like when, because I literally have been, this term I've been out like once. And to be fair, it kind of made me a bit sad. Like, people just, I don't know, there were a lot of guys, like, looking with who they were going to get with, and, like, a lot of people just, like, yeah, like, maybe a bit sad. It kind of made me realise that everyone was looking for this, like, thing, and I just didn't feel as in it as I perhaps used to.
Yeah, that's what God does.
Yeah, I know.
He'll change your objectives.
Yeah.
He'll change your objectives.
Yeah.
I was going to ask as well, back when you used to go out clubbing.
Yeah.
What was your intention? You can be honest.
Yeah. Well, I think being really honest,
yeah.
it was like going out with friends, having a great time, getting nice Instagram pics, looking if there's any fit guys I could get with. Like, it was very, yeah, it really wasn't very wholesome.
Yeah.
Like, it was very just like, oh my God, I just want to get drunk and just like be away from life for a bit.
That's
like,
interesting.
Yeah, this fits thing, because I don't really post much on social media.
Yeah.
But I was in like so many Snapchats and
yeah.
random pictures. People just snapping me, like, you know, I know they're thinking like, oh, who's this cute guy I'm with? I always think, you know, just quickly comment to myself because it's true, you know. But I'll be thinking like, why is everybody, do you mean like everyone's snapping in the moment and everything?
Literally.
And
it's actually
always,
a bit,
yeah.
So I think a lot of it was to make myself look good. Like, I know after I had my last breakup, I went out quite a lot. And I think that was very like, oh my God, let's look like I'm doing really good.
Mm.
And actually like, no, hun,
nah.
You was not.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Do you think that you would find your husband in the club?
Potentially not. I mean, you never know, but potentially not, no.
Did you once think that? Like, maybe in Freshers?
Yeah.
Wow. It's weird how when you first go to the club, you think that.
Yeah, like, oh, my wife is here.
Yeah.
Literally.
And if you don't wake up, you'll die in the club. You know?
Yeah. No, honestly. And then you just realise, like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Not here.
Yeah.
I thought a lot of things in first year. In first year, I used to think that the man always has to make the first move when I was in first year.
I thought that too, though.
And then, like, over the years, I was like, hold on. This sounds like a social construct.
Mm.
So I guess that,
yes.
That opens up the conversation. Do you believe in the man making the first move?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Yeah, since I got out of that headspace, I've asked a few guys on dates. And
oh,
do you know what? I don't want to sit around and wait to know. Like, I want to...
Chase it.
Yeah. Like, I've had one guy... this guy I really liked said no to me in the summer. And do you know what? It was great. Because then I could just, like, shut that door. Cool. And we're, like, friends. And it's totally good. But, like, I don't want to sit around, like... Oh my gosh, do they like me? Do they
yeah.
not?
This
what
is so interesting.
Yeah.
You're going to upset a lot of female listeners,
which is
good because they need to know you. Like, if you're going to sit around.
But also, if people, you know, you're not, I feel like I have enough confidence to, like, do that and enough good friends around me who will be nice when I send a screenshot to the group chat.
Wow. I knew about the group chat.
But, I mean, I feel like before, especially with my ex-boyfriend, I definitely, like, always waited for him to make the move and was always, like, Yeah, it was long. Like, it was just long. Like, I'd literally to the point where I'd be like, oh, I want to FaceTime him. Oh, I'll wait till he wants to. I'll make hints. Like, what was I doing?
You know what? I actually appreciate when it's mutual. Like, I like reciprocity.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, like, I've had girls who shot their shot and, like, it was...
Oh, have you? I'm joking. That's horrible.
Oh, man.
It's just the way you said shoot.
But, like, I've had them do it in really obscure ways.
Oh.
Where, like, it's like, okay, I just walk past him 10 times and hope he notices.
Oh, yeah, fully.
And I won't be thinking, magically just start thinking, oh, she's the best thing ever.
How it works.
Literally. Like, oh, he's going to go to that midweek, same. Like, I don't, yeah, no.
That's not how
it works. Yeah, actually, me, like, I'm like a social butterfly.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, you might go to a party. Yeah, go to the same party. You might speak to maybe like up to like 10 people.
Yeah.
So every connection means something to you.
Mm.
I might speak to everybody in that party
and
forget everybody when I walk out.
Yeah.
You know? So I had some girls who did it in a very obscure way. And I had no idea. Up and down. And I think, oh, that's a nice dress. But that's about it.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? That's it. And then I had some who were very upfront with it. And I think when it's upfront, it helped.
Yeah.
When I was younger, I was terrible. Because like I didn't deal with things well. Like, I had some girls who, like, when they asked me out and I didn't want to take them out, they would fight me.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
They would fight me. The best friend gets involved, you know. And they'd be on my case like, oh, no, my best friend is the best thing ever to happen to you, so you better...
That's so funny. Yeah.
It'd be too intense, you know. But now I feel like if it happens, like now I'm 24, when it happens, I'm mature about it. You know, you're like,
I
think we all are. So I can say to her, like, I'm not here to waste your time.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I want to see where this is going.
What, like, you may as well just go for a date if you both are interested. Or you may as well just not, like.
But it is true. I definitely feel like females need to get more of a confidence when it comes to initiating. It's not a bad thing. I feel like there's this false narrative that, you know, if you do it, then... I don't know what that makes you.
Yeah.
It doesn't really make you anything.
Yeah, I mean, some people would be like, oh, that's weird. Like, don't. Like, they wouldn't see that as a good thing, but I think,
that's conforming to society.
Exactly.
And you know what, I think, what do you think about this? I think instead of being like, hey, I love you, you're going to go out forever, you know, you could just be like, hey, you're going to go for a coffee.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you know what I mean?
Nothing too intense.
Yeah, because if you both enjoy hanging out. I think
it's so important
to
build that up.
Yeah, like, if you enjoy hanging out, then you might think, oh, I want to see him again. I want to see her again.
Yeah.
You know, but like, just, I think like as young people, in university, whatever, just go for a coffee.
Listen, I once heard a girl say to me that the way that she initiates contact with males is by giving them a look. I'm like, what does that even mean?
Literally.
That to her is her saying, let me go out for a coffee. Like, you know what I'm saying? Take me out for a coffee.
Mm.
By her giving the guy a look.
Yeah.
I'm like, that is ridiculous.
Mate, just drop him a text.
Exactly. Because if that was me, you know, I'm a creep. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't work both
ways. No.
The thing about the look is that if you're experiencing dating and you get the look, you're going to know what it means.
Yeah.
Because I've had that look and I've known that, oh, it's that look. Then I turn around. But, you know, so we both know.
Sometimes it's just not.
It's not enough.
Sometimes she gave me a look, but I couldn't tell what her look meant.
That's the issue.
Yeah.
That is the issue.
I just want more honesty in dating.
Come on.
Like, the person I have been, like, dating for, like just in general, like we decided we were like better as friends, and we sent each other voice notes, and it was just really honest and it was great, and it just really it went well, and I was like, I really want you to grow in your faith, because actually you're new to the church, like I told him I liked him and stuff, but also I was like, actually, like, I don't think... It was just honest, and it just felt more honouring of people, and it was just...
To be.
I felt better. I didn't feel bad. Like, no one felt... Yeah.
I definitely think honesty is one of the most successful keys to a relationship.
Yeah. You know, on the topic of dating, right, we'll deal with this, right? What do you think about this, like, people are scared to, like, be paid for, like, be taken for a fool, right? Even in Christian dating.
What do you mean, taken for a fool?
Where, like, you don't really want to be... You don't want to bring your emotions to the forefront.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like you take it as a risk.
Yeah.
You know, of like, okay, I feel this way, and I tell you, and you don't feel the same way,
so
I'm embarrassed now. And, like, it sounds like a small thing, but it's a big thing.
Yeah, no, of course.
Even in the music, you know, on my way here, I was playing a song and I heard the same thing. You know, never fall in love. That's a risk. And this song was talking about going out with someone.
Yeah.
So I was like, the whole idea was like, I can't, we're like, I won't tell you how I feel and you won't tell me. We'll just assume it.
So, and that's so real. Like, yeah, that's, and yeah, I think that comes from a lot of people are like emotionally not available and stuff. And I think that's why it's so important to like, you know, not just, oh my gosh, we're like getting a relationship straight away and actually like get to know each other better first and like build, obviously on the first date, if you're not, you know, you might be quite a close person, you don't want to say everything, that's fine. Just get to know each other first, like.
And how about when young people don't want to define that it's a relationship, like no label? What do you think about that?
I think it's a bit long. Because then how, I mean, I don't.
I get why they do it. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, sometimes label comes with pressure.
Yeah.
You won't be able to actually yourself, but at the same time, it is quite confusing.
I think after a bit, you need to like clarify where you are with each other. If you're, you know, if you're seeing other people or if you're going on other dates, or that's so important. So I think for me, I think you can only go so long. You know, if it's like you've been a year of dating, wow.
Yeah.
I think that might be a bit confused.
You know, for both of you, the idea of like avoiding certain things just to alleviate the pressure. Do you think that this directly influences people's tendency to not commit in the end?
Because of the pressure.
Yeah, because if you don't define it, you basically have that room to do what you want.
Yeah.
I think because nowadays we can, you know, people are in relationships without commitment. Like, I have many friends in that kind of relationship. And I think that's, you know, in a way, in some ways, people will be like, oh, well, I've got the best of both worlds, but I think it depends what you're in a relationship for.
I think that's how Friends with Benefits is born.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I feel like that's how people,
like
you said, get the best of both worlds, because they're allowed to sleep with multiple people whilst not getting the hassle of the girl saying, oh, no, you're mine.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
And I think
so
that's,
to me, it's more of a cop-out.
Yeah. Anything. I agree. Yeah, I agree. But I think it kind of more in like a secular world, it does come from the fact that you can sleep with multiple people rather than, I think that's, yeah, I think the big thing of commitment is like, oh, just have your mate, you know, you can't have sex with other people. I think that comes quite a big part of the commitment thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
And also the, oh my gosh, can I just get out? Or like, you know what I mean?
They don't feel trapped.
Yeah.
You know, speak to our viewership, both men and women. If you're talking to someone, right?
Yeah.
And you're in that talking stage.
Yeah.
What do you think you owe each other?
Nothing.
Yeah, I mean, like, not in like in a broad way, but even like things like a little like respect.
Honestly, really? Yeah, are we talking like DMing or dating?
So not.
I've taken you out. Okay, let's say we've had one or two dates.
Okay.
So actually, we've had two dates.
Okay, cool.
Which means that because 2 days.
Where
means
have
that,
we been?
Yeah, 2 days means that the first one was a coffee. Second one was.
Nando's.
Yeah, we went to Nando's. Right. So basically it meant that, you know, we both liked each other enough to go on a second date.
Yeah.
But we're still just talking, still figuring it out.
Yeah.
What do I owe you, you know?
I think, honestly, with how you're feeling and stuff, like, don't leave me on. Like, just be, I think, and be respectful, but I don't think you owe, at that point, you don't, you know, you're in no commitment, you don't owe each other anything, but be honest with your feelings and don't pretend you're just talking to me if you're actually talking to, like, everyone, do you know what I mean? Or like, if there's two, you know, if you're talking to two people, like, I think it's a bit, don't tell me you're just talking to me. And like, honest.
No, I fully agree. I feel like you can't, sometimes we leave people without doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
We do it unintentionally, and that's where honesty comes in. If you keep honest all the time, you don't leave room to make that mistake.
Yeah.
So I think
I've definitely done it before.
But that's all you owe, though. You don't. You don't owe like, oh, I see you on the ground going out with this guy. Why didn't you tell me? Like,
yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Things. I feel like that's quite, but right there, you know, because like it's a thing where it's like girls can like go on multiple dates with different guys.
Yeah, that's quite a big thing right now.
Yeah. You know, where it's like, okay, I'm figuring out who I want.
Yeah.
And a girl can be in that stage for like as long as she wants, really. She can do 2 years of just too much.
Yeah.
You know.
True. Yeah.
But if a guy is caught on a date with a different girl.
He's a player.
Because he's still figuring out the same thing. What do you think about that? Because that is a double standard as well.
Yeah.
Because
he's a womanizer.
Yeah.
No, I think Yeah, I don't think that's positive. I think we should be looking at men and women as equals in dating, and how we look at them. But also, I think it does literally depend. If you're going on a date with someone and you're acting like, wow, this is like, it's, you know, you're really acting like you're in love and you're just seeing that person, or if it's more of a casual, like a date, and, you know, because I think if I was to go on a more of a casual date now, I'd fully accept that this person might be going on dates with other people. Because with, like, big dating apps and stuff, that, you know, everyone's...
That's the culture.
Yeah, so I think it depends if they're, like, planning your future together. But actually, I really think it depends.
So if you met a guy... Yeah. I'm going to make it personal here. You know, we're not going to sidestep this one. So you meet a girl, right? Let's say you have, like, 4 dates lined up. You go on all 4 dates, but one of these guys...
Oh, are we talking with different boys?
Yeah. 4 dates with different guys, right?
Okay, yeah.
Because you're seeing, like, what's out there. But one guy really strikes your attention.
Yeah.
And then he's also going on multiple dates because he's figuring things out himself.
Mm.
But
it's a bit sticky.
Yeah, you're already like, okay, I like this guy and I want to see him again.
Yeah.
He's still unsure and he's going on different dates.
Do I like the other boys or not?
Not as much as this guy.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, but this guy isn't sure yet.
Okay.
What do you think about that? I'm doing a role reversal here because normally it's a woman who's not sure yet and the guy's like getting frustrated.
Yeah. So I'm not going to lie, I feel like in the past I've definitely been in like a similar situation. I've just kept talking to all 3 boys because I've been like, back up. But actually, thinking from a good perspective, you definitely should just like cut them off.
Yeah.
And I have, this year, like there was this guy who was like kind of Christian. Like he wouldn't call himself Christian, but kind of, yeah. And I was kind of like, maybe that'll be okay. Like, yeah, maybe, blah, blah. We're getting really close. And then I kind of went on a date with this really Christian boy and he didn't like me back, but I really liked him. And then I realised, oh, actually, I've got to cut you off because it's not, you know, it's just not.
I get it.
So what do you think, actually? I think best person to ask this question. Because, like, if you guys noticed, like, in our culture, there's a thing where, like, both men and women do this.
Mm.
But I feel like women are more vocal about it, just because they have that freedom to be. But like when like you're dating someone, right? I've noticed that people always line up the next person, kind of thing. Like if this fails, I've got.
Say true.
Yeah. What do you think about that? Where it's like, because in a sense you're having to talk to those other people, you know, who are not in your relationship, sort of land them up in case this ship sinks.
I think you've got to learn to be happy in yourself.
I think you've got to learn
to be secure on being on your own, because what it's saying when you have people lined up is that, oh, if this fails, I still need to like talk to and invest in someone else. And it's long, like how are you supposed to like pursue something if you've also got like 5 other guys in the queue? Do you know what I mean?
Something that you said is that, yeah, you have to be secure in yourself, and that comes with that season of singleness.
Yeah, so
firstly,
true.
You have to recognise that it's your season.
Yeah.
And then secondly, you have to do all that you can to be secure in God first, then yourself, and then that allows you to be ready to date
and
grow relationships. That is all that we have time for. However, one way that I end the podcast is I ask the guests, in 10 years' time, provided everything goes right in your life, where do you see yourself?
I see myself being a big lingerie designer.
Come on.
And really like working for like charities in the church, hopefully in like the prostitution area.
Mm.
I don't really.
That's a great answer. I like that. Thanks. Because like there is a market, not to sound bad, but there's a market there in terms of. There's prostitutes out there that the church isn't catering to.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, it would be amazing if someone came through and kind of helped out in that department.
Yeah.
So, well done. But, yeah, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you. It's been so fun.
Really enjoyed having you. Obviously, my guy.
Happy to be here. Just call me anytime.
Yo, Taz. No, I'm joking. But, yeah, we'll catch you guys next week. Peace.